Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It's great to have you again. Today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, about what we believe as Catholics. And today we're going to talk about liturgy. So question 167 of the UCAT asks, what is liturgy?
Yeah, so we need to define our terms before we start talking about them. The liturgy, it is the public, official divine worship of the Church. And so it includes the Mass, of course, but it's more than just the Mass. It's all the sacramental liturgies and other liturgy and other prayers that are public and official for the Catholic Church.
And of course, in the Mass, we have the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist.
Yeah, so when we divide the Mass into two parts, basically the liturgy of the Word, which includes scriptural readings, it includes the reflection by the priest on the scripture, and that's the liturgy of the Word, and then the liturgy of the Eucharist is the canon of the Mass, the consecration of the sacred species, of the turning the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, and that whole, both the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, that makes up the Mass.
Okay. Question 166 asks, why does the Church celebrate the liturgy so often? Most churches just have their services on Sunday, but with the Catholic Church, we have Mass every day.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and the liturgy is meant to set the rhythm of our lives. The daily rhythm of our life comes from the liturgy of the Church. So, for example, you know, in addition to the Mass, there's a prayer, a public and official divine worship prayer of the Church known as the Liturgy of the Hours that priests and religious pray several times every day. And the idea is that it responds to Paul's exhortation, pray always. It has to do with sanctifying. The divine liturgy sanctifies the day, sanctifies our lives, as I said, sets the rhythm of our lives. So it's very important that we let the divine liturgy, the public official divine worship of the Church, set the rhythm of our lives rather than let the world set the rhythm of our lives.
It's interesting that you mention the Liturgy of the Hours, because I've just recently started to incorporate it in my own daily prayer life. I just got my first smartphone, and my friend Tony Agnese suggested I download Laudate, which is a free app on the App Store, whether it's a Droid or an Apple Store. And it's really cool to feel that not only am I communicating with God, but I'm also uniting myself with the whole Church worldwide, including and especially ordained priests and deacons.
Yeah, that's a good point. We want to unite ourselves with the whole body of Christ, and that's what the liturgy is, the public, official, divine worship of the Church. There are private devotions, and there are all kinds of private devotions, but those aren't liturgical. The liturgy is public, official divine worship of the Church. And so it unites us not only with God in a special way, but unites us with each other as members of the body of Christ.
And as I go through these Liturgy of the Hours prayers, they're prayers of praise and they're prayers of thanksgiving, focusing mostly on the Psalms and, of course, the sacred scriptures themselves.
Sure, because the Liturgy of the Hours that priests and religious pray several times every day, like morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and then there are other hours as well prayed by the monastic orders. And, of course, lay people join it, like you just mentioned. Lay people join in as well. It's not just for priests and religious. Lay people enjoy doing it as well. And it's basically the Psalms. The heart of it is the Psalms. And the Psalms, there are 150 Psalms. They mostly written by King David, and that's around the year 1000 B.C., though some are written by Solomon, his son. And they express all the emotions, the whole panoply of human emotion, joy, sorrow, distress, despair, happiness, laments. And so it's important. And so the Liturgy of Hours reminds us that our whole being is involved in prayer, not just our minds, not just our hearts, but all our emotions and passions are involved in prayer.
Question 168 of the UCAT asks, why does the liturgy have priority in the life of the church and of the individual?
Well, because the Liturgy of the Hours, as I said, sets the rhythm of our life. It's, you know, there's an interesting expression in Latin. It's called lex orandi, lex credendi. And what it means is the law of prayer is the law of belief. Prayer is meant to strengthen our faith, and faith is meant to strengthen our prayer. So it's very important that our prayer, the official public prayer, that we pray the official public prayer of the church so that we understand rightly the truths of our faith.
Okay. Well said, Father. Question 169 asks, what happens to us when we celebrate the liturgy?
Yeah, wow, that's really the heart of the issue. Look, the most important thing we do all day, all week, all month, all year, is to celebrate the liturgy of the church, the public, official, divine worship. And the reason that it's the most important thing we do is because what it does is it brings us closer to Jesus Christ. It brings us into, it deepens our relationship with Him. It helps us to understand more clearly the truths of our faith. It helps us to be better persons. So a married couple that prays together, they become better spouses. It strengthens their marriage. A family that prays together, it strengthens their families. The liturgy transforms us, makes us better persons, brings us closer to God, deepens our relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I think it's important to mention that it is the love of God that it's one of the Ten Commandments, the third commandment, to keep holy the Lord's Day. And again, it's not for God's good that we're told to worship Him. It's for our good. So by listening and obeying, we're the ones that actually benefit. But for me personally, and for everybody, we're there to experience the love of God.
Exactly. You know, and that's an excellent point, Tim, the love of God. You know, there's all kinds of ways to pray. A person can pray any way they want, and they're all good. But the liturgy is specifically the public, official, divine worship of the church. And the reason this has particular pride of place is particularly important because this is the way the Lord has specifically asked us to pray. So, for example, the Liturgy of the Hour. First of all, the Mass. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So it's the direct result of Jesus' command to his apostles. The Liturgy of the Hours, for example, as I mentioned, are basically the Psalms. That's the way Jesus prayed. He, as a good Jewish man, he would have prayed these Psalms. So it has the public, official, divine worship of the church, what we call the liturgy, which includes the Mass, but also includes all the sacraments and the Liturgy of the Hours. These have particular pride of place and particularly important because they're the way God has specifically asked us to pray.
I think it's also important maybe to talk for a minute about how we can be healed by listening and obeying, and again, receiving Jesus in particular in the Eucharist. How we can not only be spiritually healed, but in some cases, even physically healed.
Yeah, the grace, prayer is a source of grace. And what is grace? Grace is God's assistance. It's help from above that helps us. And one of the effects of grace is to heal us. We talk about, St. Thomas Aquinas talked about the two effects of grace. Healing, meaning healing the damage that sin has done to us. Not only our own personal sin, but the sins of others that make an impact on our lives. And then, secondly, though more importantly, elevation. The effect of grace is to raise us up, is to elevate us, is to bring us to a higher plane so that our minds and our hearts operate at a higher level, at a deeper, or another way of saying, at a deeper level than, you know, mere superficial, ordinary secular life. And so healing and elevation, these are the two effects of grace, and prayer is a source of grace.
The Catechism tells us that the Mass and the Eucharist are the source and summit of our life. Let's talk for a minute about how important it is for every single person to attend Mass at the very least on Sundays and holy days of obligation.
Wow, there's no substitute for Mass. As I said, Jesus commanded us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. The early Christians, they celebrated on the first day of the week, of course, because that's the day of resurrection. As it says in the UCAT, every Sunday Mass is as a mini Easter, where we celebrate in a special way the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in doing that liturgically, that is, by the public, official, divine worship of the Church, by celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus liturgically on Sunday, we actually die to this world and rise to new life. It's that powerful a transformation. And there's no substitute. And as I said, it's the most important thing we do all day, all week, all year, because that Jesus brings us into his own divine life through the grace of the Eucharist.
The other thing, too, that you mentioned is the importance of us gathering together as the body of Christ, as community, a community of believers. Us being present at church is also allowing us to be there when the priest makes God present in the Holy Eucharist. So God's presence there, just like in the Old Testament in the temple, we can unite ourselves with Christ's once and for all sacrifice by being present at Mass.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point, Tim. You know, you can pray anywhere you want. You can pray in the forest, you can pray at the beach, you can pray in your house, you can pray anywhere you want. But only in the church is the special presence of our Lord, and because of the sacrifice of the Mass on the altar, and even outside of Mass, because of the reserved Eucharist in the tabernacle. It's the special presence of God is in the church.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Greg Maturi as we go through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. Until next time, this has been Tim Perry. May God bless you.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.